And the HealthyLife.net news at 7, looking for tips for a sustainable living, tips for a sustainable world. Ellen Moyer, PhD, is joining us again. She has great tips for sustainable living. And today, well, maybe some of those hidden chemicals in our everyday over-the-counter products. Ellen, welcome back to the HealthyLife.net news at 7.
Thanks for having me, Jay. Today I'd like to talk about hazardous chemicals in our lives. And what I have to say may shock you. If you're like most people, you believe that the government protects us from hazardous chemicals in consumer products. I once did, and other environmental consultants I know did too. You'd assume that agencies such as the Environmental Protection Agency and Food and Drug Administration wouldn't allow harmful chemicals that cause cancer or other diseases into consumer products, and of course not into our food. Obviously, this is the way things should be. Individuals can't be expected to do the voluminous research needed to evaluate the safety of literally thousands of chemicals. It would be logical to assume that this protection is happening because we pay EPA and FDA to protect us. For various reasons, though, it's not happening. Part of the problem is that the Toothless Toxic Substances Control Act gives EPA very little authority. Numerous attempts to overhaul this act have been shot down. Another attempt is in process now. In this vacuum, some states have created their own toxic chemicals programs. The U.S. is way behind the European Union and Canada when it comes to chemical safety. A problem at FDA is corporate influence, which is fostered by a revolving door between industry and the FDA. Profits trump safety, and the FDA seems more interested in protecting chemicals from citizens than in protecting citizens from chemicals. It's important for people to be aware of this situation so they can take steps to reduce their exposure to harmful chemicals, since government has dropped the ball. The numbers are mind-boggling. There are 85,000 synthetic chemicals in commercial use today, and several thousand more are brought to market each year. In the 4 decades since the Toxic Substances Control Act was passed, EPA has restricted the use of only 5 chemicals, 5 out of 85,000. Many chemicals in use today are known to cause cancer or other diseases. We use them anyway. With most chemicals, we just don't know whether they're safe. Detailed toxicological testing is required for only a couple thousand chemicals out of the 85,000. Now, the 85,000 chemicals don't include pesticides, food additives, drugs, cosmetics, tobacco, nuclear materials, and munitions, which are regulated elsewhere. Chemicals can enter our bodies through air, dust, water, food, and contact with skin. We can excrete some chemicals, but others can accumulate in our bodies. Chemicals can move surprisingly far in the air, water, and food chain and end up in distant locations. For example, flame retardant chemicals are found in tree bark samples from all over the world, including remote locations. Synthetic chemical production ramped up around the time of World War II. Toxic chemicals came onto our radar in 1962 with Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring. She eloquently wrote, quote, "For the first time in the history of the world, every human being is now subjected to contact with dangerous chemicals from the moment of conception until death." Various health effects of chemicals can include asthma, cancer, neurological problems, reproductive problems, obesity, diabetes, and autoimmune diseases. The World Health Organization estimates that chemical exposure in 1 year killed 4.9 million people worldwide. Hopefully, history will repeat itself. In European cities in medieval times, people threw biological waste into the streets. This attracted rats and fleas, and with them, the bubonic plague and other lethal diseases. People saw the connection and stopped throwing waste into the street. Life got better, and the cities flourish to this day. Today, we release chemicals into the world without knowing if they're safe, and we're paying the price with increased chronic disease. We see the connection, but will we stop releasing harmful chemicals into the world? I think so. Pressure is mounting. We can't afford the health care costs. And citizens are demanding information, for example, labeling of genetically modified ingredients in their food, as is required in 64 countries, but not the U.S. And some people are demanding more, for example, the banning of genetically modified agriculture, as has been done in Scotland. People increasingly opt for organically grown food and are more tuned in to contamination issues in general, which are increasingly in the news. Help is on the way from so-called green chemistry, which ramped up beginning in 1990 with passage of the Federal Pollution Prevention Act. Green chemistry strives to design chemical products and processes that reduce or eliminate hazardous substances, moving away from the standard petrochemicals and halogens such as chlorine. Some examples include photographic film that uses heat instead of developer chemicals, and the use of carbon dioxide as a solvent instead of hazardous chemical solvents. But what can people do now to reduce the impact of hazardous chemicals on their lives? It's probably impossible to completely eliminate all exposure. However, we can do a lot to reduce our exposure. There are things we can do individually and things we can do as a society. First, here are some general tips for what we can do as individuals. There are, of course, additional chemical-specific tips that we can't go into here. First, eat clean food, meaning organic, grass-fed, or wild, with minimal or no processing and no chemical additives. Promote your internal detoxification processes by exercising, drinking a lot of water, sweating, for example, taking saunas, and eating foods that support detoxification, such as cilantro and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and other cruciferous vegetables. Avoid breathing contaminated air whenever possible. When in doubt, steer clear of things with chemical odors, for example, synthetic fragrance, dry cleaning, and chlorine. Avoid bringing things with chemical odors into indoor spaces where they can contaminate indoor air. Have lots of houseplants, which can help clean the air and let fresh air into buildings. Buy things made out of more natural materials, for example, wood, stone, and natural fibers. Avoid synthetic materials such as plastics and foams. Buy less stuff in general. Be careful when buying cleaning supplies and personal care products like shampoo. I buy mine at the nearby food co-op or Whole Foods market, where I know they take pains to keep hazardous chemicals off the shelves. The Environmental Working Group has listings on their website where people can find out about the safety of products such as foods, cosmetics, and cleaning products. Be careful what you touch and wash your hands often. Spend less time in industrial areas and more time in nature. And last, vote with your dollars. When consumers demand certain products, producers produce them. When the demand for organic food increases, more farmers switch from industrial to organic production, for example. As a society, we can fix the Toxic Substances Control Act to require chemical manufacturers to prove their chemicals are safe and give EPA the necessary power to do its job. We can also reduce corporate influence on agencies such as the Food and Drug Administration. And we can require better disclosure of chemicals in consumer products. Individuals can push for these reforms by writing or calling their representatives and financially supporting nonprofit organizations working in this arena and signing their petitions. There is a lot of work to do.
And it sounds like it's something that we're, well, constantly fighting and always have been. So the best we can do is to minimize our exposure in all levels. Ellen Moyer is here each and every week with the HealthyLife.net News at 7 with tips for sustainable living and lots of hidden things like chemicals and our cleaning products. Ellen, where can our listeners find you online at your website?
My website is EllenMoyerPhD.com, and that's spelled EllenMoyerPhD.com. And I'm posting the replays of these segments on the website, so if anyone wants to listen to this again, they can find it on my website.
All right, and that's EllenMoyerPhD.com, and here every week on the HealthyLife.net News at 7. Ellen, we look forward to more tips for sustainable living next time here on the HealthyLife.net News at 7.
Thanks so much,